And good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, your Christian community radio station. And, of course, Brian Marshall, side bottom the first. And across the way, Ken Cummings, the legend.
Well, you said I'm welcome in. I didn't see any welcome mat.
You didn't?
And I didn't hear the door open. So you're supposed to get up and open the door for me if I'm welcome and say, come on in. But you didn't do that.
Well, the door was already open, the door you walked through.
No, it wasn't. I had to open it. I had to force it open even.
You had to force it open?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yes, you are.
I'm sorry I wasn't polite enough to...
Well, I thought you had Southern hospitality. You're from Elkton.
Nah.
No, you don't have it.
I don't have it.
Oh, I'm glad we got that nonsense out and waste the first minute. Well, it is a gorgeous morning.
Yes, it is.
And I'm thankful to be alive, another day to share. And one thing I always enjoy about November, in fact, it for the Thanksgiving time, but some people will take it upon themselves to list every single day something that they're thankful for. And I enjoy reading that and because to express thanks because – this is the will of Christ and God in Christ Jesus concerning us is that we give thanks in all things. And I am so thankful that we have the ministry of Missionary Radio and that we have partners and allow us to use this medium of Missionary Radio in order to share the best news ever, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's exactly why we're here. And it looks like today is going to be a gorgeous day in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Going up to 68, so that means you can come mow my yard this afternoon, Brian. I'll let you.
You think so, huh?
Well, yeah, I will. That would be really to make up for not having the door open when I came in here today.
Well, I'm sorry.
You've established that twice now.
I'm established it twice. I'm sorry.
But you tell everybody, welcome in.
Well, I mean,
or are you the type if somebody knocks on your door, you don't want to get up and go answer, and you say, come on in?
No. Now, nowadays, you have to watch who you let in because you never know what might happen.
Well, I grew up that way. Somebody knocked on the door, just, door's open. I just walk
Can I tell a quick story?
Well, if it's a good one.
I believe it is.
We'll ask our listeners to call in and tell us whether it's a good one or not.
Okay. Back a few years ago, this has been several years ago, we actually was doing some singing.
You were? Okay.
Were, yeah. And we went into this church, and the pastor actually showed up like 15 minutes late. And
Oh, no, the pastor? Couldn't be.
Yeah, come in 15 minutes late. And, of course, I didn't really get to talk to him after services was over. And a few days later, he calls me up, and he says, how did the church treat you? And I said, they treated us okay and everything like that. And he said, well, how much did they take up? And I told him, you know. And, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. He said, "He said I'm going to send you some more. Well, like 15 minutes later, this guy calls me back again. He says, I'm going to bring you this. I just want to bring it to you in person. Can you just give me your address and I'll drive? I'm going to drive there and I'm going to give it to you. I said, okay, that'll be fine. Well, anyway. Long story short, a guy shows up, knocks on the door. I let him in. He comes in. He says he wants to do a Holy Ghost dance in the middle of my floor in the living room.
Pardon me?
Yes.
I don't know what that is.
A Holy Ghost dance in the middle of the living room, you know.
Whatever that is.
But anyway, this dude closes the door behind him as he comes into my house and locks the door.
Oh?
Now, you're talking about kind of scary. Well, this preacher starts talking about that he used to be in prison. And of course my wife she's already texting her sister and said, if you don't hear from us in 10 minutes, call the law. But anyway, that's it.
What's the end result?
The end result was he gave me what he came to give me.
Why did he lock the door?
I don't know. I didn't ask the question.
Maybe he felt more secure since he'd been behind locked doors.
I don't know.
That he decided he needed to lock yours.
I don't know. But
now, the question that I guess inquiring minds want to know there, Brian Marshall, side bottom the first,
yeah.
That offering that he brought in addition, mm-hmm. Was it a good one?
Yeah, it was pretty decent. Pretty decent.
Well,
yeah.
How much is decent?
I take it this way. The church gave us $50.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
No wonder he's upset.
And he came back, and I think he gave me 100, I think. So that was, you know, which was good, you know. So
okay.
But anyway,
well, inquiring minds want to know.
That's it.
Have you, the guests, have you locked the gate?
Yeah. Yeah.
But okay.
I have to say, we've never been back to the church. So.
All right. Well.
I don't know why I had to share that.
The stories are fun.
Yeah.
Missionary Radio family, here is a way to both support Missionary Radio and honor someone or an organization or a church in your life. We call it being a day sponsor, and the name says it all. When you take this opportunity to be a day sponsor, you're covering the cost of one day of broadcasting, which is about $1,500. If you break that down over a year to pay, it's $125 a month. Now here is the way that you get to honor someone as a day sponsor. You can pick a special loved one to honor or a special ministry leader to show your appreciation for. You can also choose a special holiday or someone's birthday or anniversary. Basically, any day that you want for any honoring way you wish, and the top of each hour that day will feature your special and honoring message. Contact us to see what days are available for you to become a day sponsor. Call 877-885-9655 and ask for Tammy, or go online to missionary.radio for more information. Together, we are Missionary Radio.
And the front porch on a Thursday, and of course, this is Missionary Radio, your Christian community station.
With Brian Marshall, side bottom the first. My name's Ken Cummins, and Brian, fine. He didn't say welcome in. He's afraid I'd come in and lock the door and
and
wanted to do that Holy Ghost dance. But listen,
that's it.
You don't have to worry about that from this guy. That's not going to happen. So, I mean, I believe being excited for Jesus, but I'm is that kind of like do the hustle or what is that?
I don't know. I don't know what his idea was.
I didn't know there was such a dance, Brian.
Well, I've been in the Pentecostal way in a long time. I mean, I've seen a lot of things.
Is it what you call that? Seriously?
Yeah, but I've never had anybody come in my house and ask me to do it.
If you just joined us, you'll have to get the podcast to know what Brian's talking about.
That's it.
Brian, well, let me ask this question for you.
Okay.
Or to you. Have you ever had an encounter with Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Matter of fact, this past Sunday, you know, I think all of us go through what you call a slump every now and then. But this past Sunday, I don't know, I was there on stage this past Sunday, standing beside my pastor, and I don't know, I just put my hand on his back and I just started weeping. I just the presence of the Lord come in the place, and I just I felt him present in my life, and I swell up with tears now, but, you know, it's awesome to feel his presence when he comes in.
Yeah, he's with us all the time.
All the time.
And there's certain times, though, and encounters with him when you come to know the Lord Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And just through the day. And this is what I want to talk about. Just use different little stories this morning, and I want to call them encounters with Jesus. And they're familiar. But what even makes them more familiar is if you have an encounter with Jesus. It could be today that the individuals that you will encounter at work, someone you may encounter at a store or wherever your walk of life will take you, that you will have an encounter with Jesus.
Yes.
Or with an encounter with that person, you get to present to them the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be in a religious way. What I mean is a contrived way. Now, I will say this, that we must be intentional in presenting our witness for Jesus.
Yes.
The first encounter I want to talk about this morning is the one that everyone knows, even I guess if you've read the scripture at all, you do. And John chapter 4 is the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. And it's found in John 4, 1 through 26. I'm not going to read that. It's just use portions of it to tell the story. But some of the most powerful encounters with Jesus happen in ordinary moments. For example, a dusty road for Jesus, a tired traveler, a forgotten woman, and suddenly eternity breaks through.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know why. It's not necessarily on your agenda, and it's certainly not in your smartphone.
That's right.
And it's not in your notes or on your calendar.
That's right.
It happens.
That's right.
And at Jacob's well in Samaria, Jesus reveals that he knows everything about us.
Mm.
And I knew all about this lady. but he still made an offer to her. He didn't say, are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Of course, I know that didn't exist, but this will apply it to today's time.
Sure.
He didn't ask about her affiliations of any kind, but this story shows to me more than anything else that grace always goes out of its way to meet the outcast. And so we need to be willing to go down that dusty road or be the one that provides for that weary traveler or be the one that is available to be that instrument in those encounters. The first thing I notice about this story, just in this encounter, is a crossing of barriers. And I'm going to read these verses 4-9. It said, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Now the scripture uses this phraseology. Jesus needed to go through Samaria. As you know, just to put the clincher here, Jews avoided that route because they didn't have anything to do with half-breed Samaritans. They were prejudiced, let's get real. Yeah. But love doesn't avoid people. It pursues them. Mm. Let me say that again. Mm. Have you ever had people that you know try to avoid you? One of the things that I know is that you know when somebody else is, you surmise, you maybe say you know, but the chances are this is true, that someone you ask friendship with, that but maybe that person's relative and you might have had a disagreement, but instead of letting you stand on your own platform and meet that person as adult face-to-face, they ignore you.
Mm.
I've seen pastors and wives do that to one another, and that should not be the case.
No.
The reason I do that, because it's kind of the circles I've run in for a long, long time.
Sure.
And so you think, well, why are you acting so childish? But then again, I'm thinking, well, maybe I've done the same thing. Or you see somebody at Walmart, and you see them go down an aisle, and you try to go up the other one so you won't have an encounter with them.
Yeah.
So are you saying, Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first, that you're under conviction already and I just got started?
Got me all tore up.
Yeah, he's over here tearing off his clothes and getting some sackcloth and ashes already.
Oh, man.
This is real stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, that's why I'm talking about it. But anyway, Jesus pursued her. He just was there. That's a route he needed to take, and he took it. He breaks three barriers all at once here, a racial one, a gender one, because a man's not supposed to be talking to a woman, and moral. This lady was immoral because she had five husbands before, and one she's living with wasn't her husband. I think the way it goes.
Yep.
But others saw someone where maybe others may have seen something to avoid. He saw someone to redeem. Yeah. Think about this, for example, as you go about your day this morning. Think about someone at the church most overlooked. Maybe they don't dress like you, or they maybe not smell as good as you do, or their perfume's cheap. You know, by the way, I would like to put on an editorial.
Oh,
this
really?
Is a Kennytorial.
Okay.
You ready for this Kennytorial?
Go ahead.
Here it is. Do you have to wear so much perfume to choke somebody that's wearing an oxygen mask? All right, thank you. It's over. Okay. You thinking about that a minute?
Yeah.
A coworker, maybe somebody you tried to avoid, a prisoner. Oh, but they come in and lock your door and do a Holy Ghost dance.
Yeah.
A neighbor until, you know, Jesus crossed those lines.
Yeah.
Let me just remind you that these encounters with Jesus, the gospel crosses every fence we build.
Yeah.
Because the gospel is for everyone. Well, this is a familiar story, but I want you to think about encounters that Jesus had and maybe encounters that you have with people, and you should be allowing Jesus, the real Jesus, not one that you contrive, not one that you make up, and not one that you think is, but the real Jesus of the Scripture.
Hmm. Yeah.
To be at work in you. It's called the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if you'll go to Walmart and do a Holy Ghost dance. Okay. just saying.
Okay. All right. Let's get into our pen from the heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you for spreading the good news of Jesus all over the world. From Cunningham, we keep our radio on 89.3 FM. Keep up the good work, and God bless all who hear TWR around the world. From Madisonville, I've been a faithful listener to the station since it started on the air. Praise be to God for providing it. And from Hopkinsville, God bless you and this wonderful ministry.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029. Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
24/7 Missionary Radio.
Absolutely the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and pure. Good morning.
Let's don't forget something.
Well, I don't want to forget it.
Podcast.
Well, what do you want me to do? Go fishing? What's a podcast? Is it like casting my rod and reel out on a froggy thing where they sit on their
No. That's where they can go back and listen to.
Oh, that kind of podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they can go back and listen to past programs of the Front Porch.
How may one do that?
They can go to our website, missionary.radio. Go right up there around the top right-hand corner, and you'll see where it says podcast.
And you click there?
Yeah.
What sure happens when you click there, Brian Marshall?
Well,
side about in the
next,
first?
Next will pop up either a rocking chair for the front porch.
Okay.
Or a microphone for Ministry Spotlight.
All right, and you make your choice.
Make your choice.
Now, you can also listen at other sources wherever you get a podcast.
That's right. Spotify, Amazon Podcast, Apple Podcast.
How about your Peach Podcast?
I don't know about Peach Podcast.
Well, you said Apple.
Well, I mean, you know.
How about Orange?
I don't know. Do they have an Orange podcast?
I don't know. I'm making things up as I go.
I don't either. So I mean, you know,
I'm just trying to get you to answer the questions.
I don't know. I can't answer.
But that. You're saying that now. This one will be on a little later. You got to give Andrew time to get it on there.
Yes.
But past episodes minus the music. For those that may say, they're putting music. No, we don't.
Oh no,
it's not there.
Oh no.
And so I want to tell you that it's available. Yeah, that's a good idea. We do not any longer send out CDs. Yeah,
no longer.
Because they just got beyond a ridiculous price on postage to do it, and they said, cannot do that.
Yeah.
And so those are available on demand as a podcast, aren't they?
They are.
Free of charge.
Free of charge.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that.
Well,
we're talking about encounters with Jesus today, and verse one we're looking at is the woman at the well. In verses 10 through 15, we see a conversation of grace. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life." Then the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." All right. Now, think of this conversation. There's a lot going on here. But this is a conversation that I call a conversation of grace in this encounter. Jesus shifts the topic of from well water to living water, who he is, that living water, the source that never runs dry. And we can always be like an old song I'm reminded of, a Dallas Holman company, we can keep drawing from the well that never runs dry. He doesn't begin with her sin. You notice that?
Mm-hmm.
That's always intrigued me.
Yep.
Sometimes we want to say, okay, that person that maybe shows up, you know, that person's got an alcohol problem.
Yeah.
Or that problem, or do you know that she got a divorce and she's been divorced 5 times?
Yep. Jesus never started a conversation.
He did not.
Yeah.
And our encounter with people, sometimes we say, oh, yeah, that's the man that walked off on his job and abandoned his family, and now he says he's saved.
Yep.
Don't we do that?
That's where we go, yes.
I'm guilty.
Yeah.
Me too. Well, shall we confess and do an invitation right now, Brian?
Let's do it.
Okay. But he doesn't begin with her sin. He begins with her thirst.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Before conviction ever came, compassion did.
Mm.
Compassion leads to conviction. Mm. And so if we are so stuck in our ways and not willing to have those encounters, Jesus had this encounter. It was a planned encounter. He didn't know. Well, he knew because he's Lord, but we don't know who's going to be on that road and we take a detour, do we?
Never know.
But don't argue people into the kingdom. Here's the message.
Yeah.
Don't argue people into the kingdom.
Yeah.
What you do is invite them into the fountain.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's
yeah.
It.
And so when hearts are thirsty, even a gracious words about Christ can open the door. And this is what happens here. He speaks to her. He looks at her. He talks to her. He's not even supposed to be doing that. Mm-hmm. So we may have an encounter with someone, and we say, well, I don't have anything in common with her. I don't have anything in common with him.
Mm-hmm.
But you have somebody greater than you.
Yep.
You have the Holy Spirit in you.
That's right.
And you can speak in the boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Well, I'm not as intellectual as he is. I don't have a piled higher and deeper after my name. And so I don't know if I can speak to that degree or to that level.
Yeah.
But let's not look for degrees in we're even guilty of that, and sometimes we get someone to do something. Well, he's a powerful preacher. And never mind that guy that's probably down pastoring that church of 15 might be more powerful than that dude that's pastoring 2,000 because they got the power of the Holy Spirit on them.
Yeah.
That would be your chance to say amen.
Amen. Amen, Brother Ken.
But see, you're welcome. Just going on with you. But encounters with Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to the next thing, in verses 16 through 18, here's a confrontation of truth, though. Here's what happens. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here.
Yeah.
And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you well have said, I have no husband, for you've had 5 husbands, and the one whom you are now have now is not your husband.
Yep.
And that you spoke truly. Do we say, that guy and gal are living together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get off on that right now.
Yeah.
But if we are labeling people before we present them with grace, let's share the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the truth. He'll do the confrontation.
That's right.
Jesus said, go call your husband. He exposes her brokenness, but not to shame her.
Yeah.
To free her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just like you go in and see a doctor and you say, what's the problem? And you dance all around it.
Yep.
And the obvious problem is something else, but yet you're dancing all around it. And the doctor, mm-hmm. he or she will say, okay, let's examine this thing. And they said, well, and they'll ask you some pointed questions. If they're very thorough, they will.
Yeah.
And then it comes, the little bitty light will shine there on that problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus did, but he invited her to share, not shame her.
Yep.
Truth without love wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Love without truth deceives. Jesus offers both perfectly, doesn't he?
Yes.
True worship begins when we stop pretending. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
So let God put his finger on the hidden places, so he can heal them. Mm-hmm. I would never forget, and I was going into surgery. I was a 9-year-old kid, and I'd had all kinds of problems and just been sick the whole summer. And finally, my appendix burst, and I just about died. That was in July of, you're going to say, don't you call me old. But this was in July of 1968. And yes, I remember it quite well. And when I was getting rolled in on the gurney, they're about to put me to sleep with the ether back in those days.
Yeah.
I thought I was about ready to come off that thing and hit a doctor. He touched me right where that place is, and just he barely touched me. I mean, he didn't. I mean, just lightly. You can't see my finger right now, but I mean, lightly. But I just about came up from there and had a little hissy fit.
I bet you did.
But I want to tell you, it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Lord does that. He doesn't hurt you, but he puts the finger in on the problem where the healing can come.
There you go.
Now, in verses 19 through 26, she shifts here. The woman said, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." Well, what's she supposed to say?
Yeah.
And then, well, it looks like we're going to take up the rest of this encounter. But I want you to think about today who the Lord may put in your path, and you have an encounter with Jesus. And in that encounter, you don't shame, you share.
That's right.
Jesus is the one that you share. The Holy Spirit will do the convicting and the convincing.
That's right.
And he'll do the drawing. We must remember that. It's not in my cleverness or in my ingenuity or in my genius, which is, I don't have to worry about that on my part. It's not there. But it's all in the power of the Lord.
Yes.
Think about it.
Ever wondered about God's plan for your life? What his plan was or is? Well, hi, I'm John Erickson Tata, and perhaps long ago when you first put your faith in Christ, you may have heard these familiar words, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That brand new thought warmed your heart, didn't it? And even if that phrase wasn't what you heard, still, somewhere along the line, you were told that God does have a plan for you and every person who comes to Christ. Back in the early days of your newfound faith, you embarked on your spiritual journey, comforted to know that God designed a unique plan just for you. From time immemorial, before the creation of the earth, God was thinking of you. But perhaps that season was long ago and far away. And even now, you don't feel that you have clarity on exactly what God's plan for you was supposed to be. Of course, you believe in Jesus, but over the years, you don't intentionally think about God's design for you. You just take things as they come. Well, if that's the case, let me ask you, do you still believe that God has a wonderful plan for your life? If not, let Psalm 57 jog your memory, because it says flat out, quote, God will fulfill his purpose for you. Actually, it says for me, but right there, you can affirm your confidence in God to completely fulfill his purpose in your life. The Bible also says that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. God is capable and willing to see it through. And I know that I have found God's purpose for my life, and the most important part of his plan has nothing to do with me writing books or leading a ministry or speaking to large crowds. Nothing, not even being on the radio. I mean, true, these things are a part of God's plan for my life, but they're not the main thing. God's plan is to create in me the image of his son, Jesus. His big plan is to help me turn away from sin and turn toward the Bible. It is to infuse in my character the Christ-like qualities of gentleness, mercy toward others, a spirit of humility among the people I work with. God's design for me also includes some pretty tough trials. And through each test of faith, he is building endurance and patience into my life. His plan is to change me. I'm constantly saying that I want to be a better Johnny today, a different, more Christ-like Johnny than I was yesterday. And so each morning I get myself actively engaged with God to make his plan a reality. God's plan is that I be an authentic witness of his gospel love and his story of redemption. And all of it is to bring glory to God the Father and his Son. And you know, when it comes to the most important aspect of God's plan for you, I believe it's the same. Psalm 138, verse 8 says, quote, "The Lord will work out his plans for my life, for your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever." Friend, God will not forget his purpose for your life, a plan that's hand-tailored, specific, and unique to you. Because Christ's likeness may look different on you than it does on me. Your circumstances are different than mine. You face different trials, different tests of your faith. So, friend, no one can glorify God exactly like you can. Take heart. That's a really important purpose. Isaiah 43, verse 7 even says that God created you for his glory. That's his plan. That's his purpose. And if you're trusting him, then God's plan is progressing in the right direction, right on schedule and full speed ahead. Today, say yes to his plan for your life and shine for his glory because of Jesus reflected through you.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." 40 authors wrote the Bible over a period of 1,500 years. These Bible writers wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Those who wrote the Bible lived at different times, some separated by hundreds of years. When the 66 books of the Bible, with their 1,189 chapters, made up of 31,173 verses, are brought together, we find perfect harmony in the message they convey. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
I can be having a bad day or off day and turn the radio station on, and it seems like it just makes my whole day better.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Missionary Radio, in partnership with TWR.
Brandon Lake, praise you anywhere.
That's right. Does that mean that you have to be in the church building to praise him?
No.
We knew the answer to that.
No.
Praise him anywhere.
Anywhere.
All right. So, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
And we do that right here on the morning show on Missionary Radio.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yep.
Well, we're on the front porch this morning and glad to be here sharing encounters with Jesus and wrapping this one up about the woman at the well. She goes to a revelation of worship, really, in the verses 19 through 26. She shifts the conversation to religion. And she asks, which mountain is right? Our ancestors worshipped here. And so which one's right, Lord? And the Jesus replies, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So what we're seeing by praising you anywhere, that song wasn't by accident. Worship isn't about a place, but presence.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the mountain. It's the Messiah.
That's right.
Now, you get that?
Mm-hmm.
Even Brian gets that. That is amazing. Now, then he says the words no rabbi had ever said so directly. He said, I who speak to you am he. And he's talking about he is the one that's spirit. I am the great I am. And that was revealed right here at that well in a circumstance that is unorthodox, if you will, in a time that shouldn't have happened because he's walking in through Samaria. At the time of day, it shouldn't happen. And also to speaking to someone that he shouldn't have been speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's a revelation here.
Yep.
And so this encounter with Jesus was more than meets the eye. We don't know what that encounter is going to happen. And someone announces that, hey, I've met Jesus. Well, we need to allow that person to go through a time of development. I totally agree with that. Before you turn them loose, you're not going to make them the head of a certain group in your church, but you're going to help them, you're going to nurture them, you're going to encourage them,
yes,
you're going to watch them grow, mm-hmm, and you're going to let them spread their wings and fly.
That's right.
So encounters with Jesus, maybe my takeaway is this: Jesus meets people where they are, not where they should be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. Now, they think about that
That's right.
A moment.
That's right.
His living water satisfies the soul's deepest thirst. That's the obvious lesson. But the proof, then, of real worship is as a changed witness. The woman left her water jar, and what'd she do? She went and told the town what the person
yes
she had met.
Yes.
Oh, well, we need to keep that quiet. We shouldn't talk about Jesus. I mean, separation of church and state. We can't talk about Jesus.
Mm.
Yes, you can.
You can.
Well, they'll label me a lunatic. Well, okay. Luna means moon. Maybe you're staring at the moon. Don't be a lunatic on that regard. But what I'm talking about is that if Jesus is truly, and I have had an encounter with him, and by the way, we should have an encounter with him every single day.
Absolutely.
But there are times who are richer than others, aren't there?
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, here's one more, and this is about the man born blind later on in John chapter 9. And if you just, there's so many of them, and I've got some chosen here. And this one is interesting. Some people meet Jesus in crisis, others in quietness.
Mm-hmm.
This man was blind from birth. So he's not unlike some people who've lost their sight after a few years, like Fanny Crosby, who lost her sight, a great prolific hymn writer, who lost her sight, well, I think when she's a child. But this man was born this way, a lifetime of darkness, total dependence, and in that time, total dismissal. Then, one day, then that day, Jesus passed by. What happens next shows us that Jesus not only gives sight to the eyes, but light to the soul. In verses 1 and 2, now as Jesus passed by, chapter 9 of John, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? They thought this is the right question because that's how their worldview of thinking. And who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. So the disciples see a man, and they ask, who sinned? They see a theological problem to them. But Jesus sees a person.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that we could get there. There are always going to be differences theologically from groups. And some are going to assist and have their pet doctrine met out. Never mind that person may have met Jesus. Well, you didn't do it this way. You didn't do it this way. So therefore, we can't accept that.
Yeah.
I just wondered if Jesus accepted it.
Mm.
Now, is that the better question?
Yeah.
Now, I do believe in doing things in order and correct way, to believe
me.
But he answers here in this encounter, he said, neither, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Our greatest pain may become the platform for God's glory. I want you to think about that. Someone whose struggle became their ministry. Do you know anyone like that? They said they were struggling with an addiction.
Yep.
The Lord brought them through it, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they're delivered. And then they are able to now help others.
Yes.
We are to comfort those wherein we have been comforted.
Yes, yes.
So a believer who turns suffering into a testimony. You think about that. Truth often, we often want to explain suffering. Jesus, he just wants to redeem it.
That's it.
Hey, I can't explain it.
Yesterday, I was talking to one of the ladies I work with at my other job, and we was talking about she used to be a drug addict, and she talked about nothing changed. She went to different rehabs, and I'm not knocking rehabs. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm. They're great.
But until she turned it over to Jesus and she got hooked up on Jesus, He took it away from her, and she said to this day, I do not desire it. But it took Jesus. And I've run into so many people that have been, you know, that's had drug addictions or alcohol addictions. We have several in our church. They said, until we turned it over to Jesus, he took it all away.
That leads me to this point on this man born blind is a touch that transforms. Jesus spits, there's a lot of explanation for this, but time won't allow it. But Jesus does it his way.
Sure.
Okay. Jesus spits on the ground, makes clay, anoints the man's eyes, and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, that's odd, but the man obeys, and this is where the miracle happens. Mm-hmm. That's the point. Obedience always precedes illumination. God's instructions may not make sense until you act on them.
Yes.
I can't explain why he'd use a ragtag army and said, march around the wall seven times and the walls came tumbling down.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I
don't know. But that's what he wanted.
But that's what he said do.
That's right.
And so then illumination and the power came.
Yep.
And the touch that transforms. Then a testimony that cannot be denied. And when this man is healed, is this the same man? And he says, yeah, I'm him. And when he was pressed for an explanation, he gives the clearest witness ever recorded, and I love it. One thing I know, this is all I know. I don't have a degree in all of this, but I want to tell you something here. Hear me. He said, I was once blind, but now I see.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to know how God worked, just that he did.
That's right.
Now, this story may be the light someone needs to see this morning. Be reminded of this old story. Mm-hmm. Here's a lesson for you. Spiritual blindness is worse than physical blindness, though. Many can see the world, but they can't see the truth. Christ still opens eyes through Scripture, through conviction, through his Spirit. Here's a challenge I want to leave with you today. Ask God to open your eyes again to his presence and to those around you who walk in darkness so you can truly see them as someone in need of a Savior. Jesus notices what others pass by. Mm-hmm. Obedience opens a door to understanding. Your simple testimony carries life-changing power. So here's the vision here. The clearest vision comes when you see Jesus for who he truly is.
Amen.
An old song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, Can We See God for Who He Really Is? Well, I don't know what today holds, but I know who holds it.
That's it.
Go at it and have an encounter with the Master today.
Amen.
See you later, Brian Marshall, side bottom the fourth.
The fourth?
I mean the first. I got confused.
I got confused. Have a blessed day, and thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on your Christian community station, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.